Welcome to Red Meat, a collection of the tastiest tidbits from Odyssey's conservative news talk radio stations across the country, a place where we're not afraid to dig in. Alex Hogan at Fox News kicks us off today with the latest on what's going on in Iran.
Hey, good morning to you. So it was about 3 a.m. local time here when sirens woke up much of the country, alerting people to get to shelter because of this attack that Israel launched, called a preemptive strike on Israel or Iran's nuclear capabilities. Right now, what we're seeing, sirens are blaring in the northern part of Israel because of incoming projectiles. Iran today also launched as many as 100 drones in retaliation after all of this. None of those so far have reached the country. But to rewind a little bit and give your listeners a look into what has taken place over the last roughly 12 hours. Israel carried out this extensive operation. It began overnight, again, to target Iran's nuclear facilities. Israel says it used more than 200 aircraft to target hundreds of sites across Iran today. There were multiple explosions heard at Iran's Natanz nuclear power facility. That's one of the largest sites that enriches uranium. The International Atomic Energy Agency says that there has not been an increase in radiation levels there. There's some disputes right now between Iran and Israel as to the extent of damage there, but there is no doubt this has been a major surprise attack that's not only targeted the nuclear capabilities across the country, but it's targeted military commanders as well. The IDF says that most of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps high command was killed while gathering in an underground headquarters. We know that several of the highest ranking military commanders have also been killed. These strikes also targeted nuclear scientists. We know as many as six of them were killed. And these are numbers that we do expect to rise in the coming hours as we get more details as to how successful this was in terms of Iran or Israel's goals of striking Iran. Iranian media reporting that as many as 80 people are dead and more than 320 have been wounded.
Wow. It's been pretty amazing to watch. I thought I saw a headline banner on Fox earlier where it said that Benjamin Netanyahu said this could be a 2-week campaign. So they've got more of these attacks planned?
Yes, this is far from over. We know that Iran is expecting to retaliate even further. They claim that these 100 drones that they sent was just an attempt to see how Israel responded to that. That was not the full retaliation. We also know that Israel says this is not over, that they are going to continue to try to strike Iran's nuclear capabilities, as well as high-ranking officials within the Iranian regime. So the IDF has told people to brace. This could last for days. And as you mentioned, there is a widespread belief that they could go on much longer than just the weekend.
Wow. Alex Hogan with us from Fox News. Now, I have a friend who happens to be in Jerusalem right now, went there on a sightseeing trip, and his text message to me this morning was, we feel safe here, but our concern is how we're going to get out of here. I would imagine, are the airports shut down, Alex?
Absolutely. That's going to be a big concern in the days to come, not only for people trying to leave the country, but Israelis trying to get home to the country. The airspace has been closed and airports are closed as well. Flights have all been grounded and canceled. So as you mentioned, for people who are here, Israelis trying to get out, tourists, foreigners, Americans who are here on the ground, they will not be able to leave until the airspace has been reopened and the airport reopens as well. Of course, you can imagine, like any issue at any airport around the world, when there is a closure, there is a tremendous number of flights that are on backlog. So getting out just becomes a nightmare of trying to schedule that. For now, people will have to stay put. There at least is a sigh of relief that for most Israelis and people who are here today, that there is a comfort level knowing that those drones were intercepted, that people can go a little bit further away from their shelters than they were for the initial hours of this morning, wondering what the Iranian response was going to be like and how Israel will handle that. We are seeing some more people starting to come out, walk around, go out and about. It's different than what it was like earlier this morning when people were quickly running to the grocery store to stock up on food and water, not knowing what the hours and days would bring.
Wow. Alex.
There's no bigger news in the world right now than the fact Israel decided to strike Iran in the early hours of Friday morning. Tara Servetius at WORD Radio calls it a truly, truly historic moment. Here's more from Tara on what happened and what could happen next.
When I say historic 48 hours, what am I talking about? There's another side of the coin. Because the reason that the Khomeini and these religious leaders and these Iranian leaders are in power and recovered from the brutality of Trump's sanctions, which had them on their knees. And I've been saying for years, this regime would have collapsed just due to street violence from Trump's sanctions had Biden not won and pumped $300 billion into it, reinflating Iran. So hopefully those poor people today have a shot at freedom, which pray for them. You want to see what Iran was like before Operation Ajax? Iran probably would be an ally of ours today. And I mean, not the kind of ally that they actually are to the Democrat Party, where they fund the Democrat street violence, as John Kirby, spokesperson for Joe Biden, admitted. But I mean, a real ally, a first world ally. Me and the kids and my husband, recent weeks, we've been going back. The kids are in awe and looking at the pictures today of women in Iran versus the pictures in the 30s and the 40s. You can't tell you're not looking at an American. American hairstyle, American clothing. You know, you look at the strip and they're shopping at stores that are modern and westernized before the CIA took all that away from them in Operation Ajax and the bloodshed and the destabilization that wrought. And in the last 48 hours, the other side was attacked too. What other side am I talking about? What a funding for all this. Keep these thugs in power. That's what the CIA loves. Their funding arm, USAID. Bam! Because the House passed that rescission package yesterday, barely by two votes, shame. But we did it anyway. They're freaking out inside the CIA this morning. And that is a good morning for Americans in the world. Defunds NPR, PBS, and USAID, takes a quarter of their budget and rips them right out from underneath them. That is how they keep these dictatorships in power. They funnel the money through USAID. This is saying never again. No more regime change. You're not running your own foreign policy. You're not getting our troops killed by funding our enemies while they're fighting our troops. Pray, truly pray we can get it through the Senate. It'll change the world if this money is taken away from the CIA. And because that's what USAID does. They funnel the money, funnel the money, funnel the money. Prop up the dictatorships, prop up the Ayatollahs, prop up the worst people on earth. Here's former National Security Council for Middle East Chair Robert Greenberg. Here you go.
And the worst, I think, is the irresponsibility of being hypocritical. We've given $1.7 billion, the Biden-Harris administration, to the Taliban since the disastrous withdrawal in 21.
USAID.
We've given $7.9 billion to Iraq, whose militias on the government payroll have attacked U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria almost without stop on Iran's behalf. And we just approved $6 billion in U.S. cash going from accounts in Qatar to the Islamic Republic, who's responsible for all this and supports both Hezbollah and Hamas.
See what it takes? The first two there, by the way, were USAID. Taliban funded. Hamas, $2 billion funneled through USAID. No checks. Senator Tom Cotton was the one who discovered that. They just, they're handing it out to Hamas NGOs. And Hamas runs the government there. They are elected and then never allowed another election again. I mean, that's giving the money to Hamas. No checks, no controls. All USAID, Samantha Power said was, hey, are you Hamas? And they're like, us? No. Hey, can we have the money? Yeah, sure. Here you go. $2 billion after October 7th. So this is a joint attack by Congress on USAID, USAID, which funds all this stuff. One of the greatest forces for evil in the world. And Iran, one of the beneficiaries. It's a good day. It's a good day in the world. It's a good day for peace. Good day for good people. It's a good day for hope that one day Iran will take that final step and overthrow its leaders, or that Israel will do it for them. And there is teeth gnashing, screaming, wailing, probably crying, wiping tears away with rainbow flags inside the CIA this morning. Good. Good. So, folks, fingers crossed, we get this rescission package through the Senate. We begin to normalize the idea, no, we do not fund our enemies when they're trying to kill our troops. No, we do not fund Islamic regimes. No, we're not going to pass another $9 million to Al-Qaeda in Syria. By the way, Al-Qaeda last few days threatened to assassinate President Trump. And they can train for that in their new safe haven in Syria, which we gave them. So much evil under the Biden administration, and so good to see so much of it falling right now. So let's hope Israel goes for broke, just end this regime. So far, they haven't touched the Ayatollah, and I hope they're not taking the tack that, well, he's a religious leader, we can't touch him now. He is the central force of evil in the Middle East, and he needs to go. He's going to meet his maker. He'll be very happy, gets his virgins or whatever they give him, and he can go on his way. And then we can have actual democratic elections. As 80% of the Iranian people say they want to have, that was taken from them in the 50s by the CIA. If this thing goes right, maybe they'll get it back. But I'm getting ahead of myself. It's great to see what Democrats would describe, I guess, as a fiery but mostly peaceful Iran this morning. Trump is winning, y'all. So many measures of it. One of my favorite recently, Jasmine Crockett, of all people, about a week and a half ago, said this about Republicans and immigration.
Republicans were right. Democrats lost on immigration. When you look at all the polling, when you talk to people, they lost on immigration.
Yeah, they did. And now we're seeing massive majorities in Rasmussen polling, the only polling you can trust right now, approval, agreeing with Trump on immigration. And a lot of mainstream outlets have reported this as well, particularly agreeing with Trump on the idea of getting rid of criminals, getting criminal legal immigrants out, but just deporting anybody. And the more Trump talks about it, and the more Trump does it, the more popular he gets, and the less popular Democrats get. Registering in at 27%. You heard that right. That's NBC. That's the liberal poll with only 7% strong support. They're below double digits. So what do? You keep doing what you're doing, right? You're winning. But maybe not. Shock ensued yesterday when out of nowhere, Trump announced, yeah, I might let some illegal immigrants stay. I like some of them now, I think. This rocked the internet yesterday. Here's what he wrote on Truth Social. Our great farmers and people in hotel and leisure business have been stating that our very aggressive policy on immigration is taking very good long-time workers away from them, with those jobs being almost impossible to replace. In many cases, the criminals allowed into our country by the very stupid Biden open borders policy are applying for these jobs. This is not good. We must protect our farmers, but get the criminals out of the USA. Changes are coming. Okay. He did not tell the folks who answered him any of this. They all got caught flat-footed yesterday by this. And Trump announcing that, you know, I might let illegal immigrant hotel and farm workers stay.
Our farmers are being hurt badly by, you know, they have very good workers. They've worked for them for 20 years. They're not citizens, but they've turned out to be, you know, great. And we're going to have to do something about that.
Okay, so absolute shock ensued yesterday. But this is the opposite of what Stephen Miller's been saying. This is the opposite of what Kristi Noem has been saying.
On immigration, what made you change your mind about targeting in California farmers and people in the hotel and leisure business?
If you look today, I put out a statement today about farmers. Our farmers are being hurt badly by, you know, they have very good workers. They've worked for them for 20 years. They're not citizens, but they've turned out to be, you know, great. And we're going to have to do something about that. We can't take farmers and take all their people and send them back because they don't have maybe what they're supposed to have, maybe not. And you know what's going to happen and what is happening? They get rid of some of the people because, you know, you go into a farm and you look and people don't, they've been there for 20, 25 years and they've worked great and the owner of the farm loves them and everything else. And then you're supposed to throw them out. And you know what happens? They end up hiring the people, the criminals that have come in, the murderers from prisons and everything else. So we're going to have an order on that pretty soon, I think. We can't do that to our farmers and leisure, too, hotels. We're going to have to use a lot of common sense on that.
Okay. What the difference is between that policy and Biden? I don't know. No idea. Lost this morning on that point. Well, after that statement, which caused shockwaves, this started trending about hotel owners, hotel CEOs who take advantage of illegal immigrant labor, which, folks, as we know, is a tax evasion scheme. You don't pay taxes on them. You don't pay taxes on them. So think Medicare, Social Security, all of that. And you leave the taxpayer with the bill and you pocket the money. It's theft. Illegal immigration is at its heart theft by employers. So it's very shocking to hear Trump talking like this. Well, this then began trending yesterday. This is J.D. Vance 7 months ago on Joe Rogan talking about exactly the same policy Trump is suddenly proposing now.
2017, 2018, when I was in the private sector, I was at a business conference dinner, and I was seated next to the CEO of one of the largest hotel chains in America. And the guy is going on and on about how much he hates Donald Trump. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, why do you hate Donald Trump so much? And he said, well, the reason I hate Donald Trump, he says, is because Donald Trump's border policies have cut down the number of illegal immigrants. And because I can't pay illegal immigrants under the table anymore, I have to pay American workers, and they want much higher wages. And I was like, this guy just admitted it. I was like, holy shit, this guy just admitted it.
That's a crime.
That is like straight up monopoly man evil shit that this guy admitted to. And I was like, you know, my wife, who's very apolitical, she was actually at the dinner with me, and she's like, come again? You just said you don't want Americans to get decent wages? Like,
straight up monopoly man evil starts with S, ends with T. Is how J.D. Vance described that exact policy 7 months ago, which led to folks on our side asking all kinds of questions. You're going to put out an executive. This is essentially an amnesty for, I guess, just hotel workers and farmers, farm workers, if you've been here for a long time and your employer likes breaking the law with you, because that's what they've been doing. Now, think about this for a second, okay, what he said yesterday. This is why this is shocking. And he walked it back. That's the good news. What he's saying is, okay, first of all, folks, 94% of the farms in this country, they're corporate. So when he says farmers come to me, he means corporate. He means CEO. So what he's essentially, let me translate. CEOs came to me and admitted that they've broken the law for 20 years. But they really like the people they're breaking the law with. Keep in mind, breaking the law is not just breaking employment law. It's also breaking tax law. It's defrauding the government and then putting it the cost of the healthcare of these people, the cost of welfare programs for these people on the backs of the taxpayer. One, if you hire an American, guess what? You're paying Social Security, you're paying Medicare, you're paying all of it. So what Trump essentially said yesterday is, well, you know, some of these farm CEOs came to me and they said that they've been breaking the law for 20 years, but they really like the partners they've been breaking the law with, i.e. the illegals. So I said, you know, we got to do something about that. We just got to, you know. Really? What's the difference between that and Joe Biden? I don't know. I don't know what the difference is. I can't say. A lot of folks asking overnight, okay, if you're going to codify that in an executive order that we're going to enforce some laws, but also not others, what kind of legal precedent is that going to set? That's going to cause the courts to use that against you, and they're going to begin doing what they did after the Reagan amnesty, which is saying, well, if you do that for this group here, you got to do it for this group here. I mean, why stop at hotel workers and hospitality industry workers? I mean, we get in farm workers. I mean, we got to do restaurants. I mean, why do they get a pass? They're all calling the White House this morning. Like, hey, can I keep my illegals? I don't want to hire Americans. I hate Americans. Plus, if I hire American, I mean, I got to pay taxes, the federal government on them. I mean, they got to pay taxes, the federal government. We can't have that. Well, it didn't go over well. And the good news is that by last night, Trump had completely reversed himself again on X. So he's now back to his prior position for now. But let me tell you what the danger is here, folks. The danger of him even having said this, even though he reversed it. Democrats just got rewarded for their violence. When Trump was winning, hands down winning, they just went, wow, he just blinked. Take to the streets again, bloodier, more violent this time. I don't know what he was thinking. But I can tell you this, he didn't tell any of his people beforehand. You should see Kristi Noem's face. She got caught flat-footed with it live on television. And don't tell me this is 4D or 5D chess. Trump knows it's not. Or he wouldn't have reversed both positions by the end of the day in two more Truth Social episodes. Jeff Edge, gotta keep up the pressure on Trump. He cannot go down. We're going to get more violence, more cities burning, and we're going to get a slew of lawsuits. We're going to get mass amnesty. It's just, it's not going to work.
The biggest domestic story is the fact that President Donald Trump is holding a military parade tomorrow as people in 1,800 different cities vow to protest it, and police have to figure out how to handle it. No one wants a repeat of what went down in Los Angeles this week. Let's check in on that with Rich Zeoli at WPHT Radio.
Democrats are on the wrong side of it. It doesn't matter. They're on the wrong side of it. And my buddy Melissa just sent this to me a few moments ago. You know, on Saturday in Philadelphia, they're having their No Kings Day, or whatever the hell this was. They're calling it No Kings. And it's a whole organized effort. The president today in the Oval Office made the point of saying that what you're seeing in L.A. is organized, it's paid for, it's not organic. There are people behind this. They had people showing up with tools to crack the sidewalks open and the curbs to use them as weapons. They had a guy going around spontaneously handing out, I think, like gas masks or something like that. Just, you know, spontaneously just driving around handing out gas masks to people in L.A. Right. NoKings.org, which is now this movement. In America, we don't do kings. They've defied our courts. Deported Americans. Deported Americans? Who's been deported? You can't deport an American. By definition, you can't. Disappeared people off the streets. Disappeared people off the streets? What does that even mean? I don't even know that's grammatically correct. Attacked our civil rights and slashed our services. The corruption has gone too far. No thrones, no crowns, no kings. On June 14th, we rise up, host an event, then there's a host toolkit, find an event near you on a map below, and then there, all across the country, there's all of these spontaneous protests that are going to be happening starting on the 14th. And there's, I'm counting like, I don't know, maybe 100, 200 different dots of where these things are taking place spontaneously, organically, all across the country. There's the Disappeared in America mass call, not a mass like a church mass, obviously, but a mass call. President Trump thinks he can disappear people. Join us for a mass organizing call to learn why this moment matters. No Kings Day Town Hall on Tuesday, June 10th at 6 p.m. Ooh, maybe we'll join. Hey, with AFT President Randy Weingarten, the troll under the bridge. Ah, kids, give me your milk money. That's tonight at 6. Maybe we should dial in. I don't know. Why not? Let's dial in. Listen, Know Your Rights training on Tuesday, June 10th. This training will prepare you to show up safely and confidently so that this nonviolent action, whether you're marching, rallying, or supporting from the sidelines, or peacefully protesting by blowing up police cars, you'll learn to protect yourself, your community, and stand up for your rights. And then it's all in Spanish, too. And then there's a bunch of other things, too. You can spread the word. They have social media. Blue Sky. They have all of this. And who the hell's paying for this? No idea. Because there's no paid for on it. There's no paid for label. There's partners. There's trainings. There's a toolkit. There's all this other stuff. Who are some of their partners? Let's see. Partners. Oh, they got a lot of them. The ACLU, Americans United. Let's see. There's a lot of these lefty groups. I wonder who's behind all this. I wonder who's behind People for the American Way, Patriotic Millionaires. Who's that? Roots Action, the Seneca Project, blah, 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 blah. Working Families Power. A whole bunch of different groups. I wonder if Open Secrets is on here. Let's see, do I see Open Secrets? No, but you know, they send money to all these various different groups anyway. So One Fair Wage. And then they have their different events. So why don't we host an event, shall we? Let's see. The No Kings Host Toolkit. If you'd like to do this on No Kings Day coming up. State of play, why we're mobilizing, hosting your own No Kings mobilization, what to know before you host. The mobilization tactics. Let's see. How do we see the No Kings mobilization tactics? March, rally, visibility, action. Mm-hmm. Chants. Get your banners. Plan your chants. Okay. Well, we'll talk more about that as the show goes on today. But the president said, you know, this is nothing that is organic, nothing like that. It's just not happening. This is not the kind of thing that you see that just happens. And, you know, that's the truth. And the president is right when he says that. This is absolutely 100% paid for, funded by the president. I mean, by the president, by the opposition to the president. Very powerful people. And they want to do everything they possibly can to cause violence in the streets. It's what they're doing. They want to do this. And this is what makes them happy. President's going to speak soon from Fort Bragg, by the way. We'll take it live for you when he starts to speak. Oh, and my favorite line today was when he talked about World War II. I love this. This is cut number 6, the president today, about why we're doing that military parade coming up on June 14th on Flag Day. So while the left is doing their No Kings Kooky Day, their day of action, we'll be doing Flag Day to celebrate our military and to celebrate the fact that we defeated the ultimate evil in the world, the Nazis, and their buddies, the Japanese Empire, the Empire of Japan. And we won the war and we won freedom for the world. And this is the president, cut number 6.
Recently, as you know, with World War II, the victory of World War II, I called up France and they were celebrating the victory. Well, we helped them a lot, as you know. I don't have to get into that. But I called up other countries. They were all celebrating the victory. We're the only country that didn't celebrate the victory. And we're the one that won the war. Okay. If it wasn't for us, that war, you would be speaking German right now. Okay. We won the war, and you might be speaking Japanese, too. I mean, you might be speaking a combination of both. We won the war, and we're the only country that didn't celebrate it. And we're going to be celebrating big on Saturday. We're going to have a lot of... And if there's any protest that wants to come out, they will be met with very big force. By the way, for those people that want to protest, they're going to be met with very big force. And I haven't even heard about a protest, but, you know, this is people that hate our country.
You might be speaking German, Japanese, or maybe a combo of both. I love that, by the way. It's my favorite clip of the day. He's absolutely right. I feel like that was in the movie Stripes. I'm not quite sure. I think it was. I think there's a scene where Bill Murray goes, you'd all be speaking German right now if it wasn't for us. But it's been a while since I've seen Stripes. At least sober, anyway. But so we'll talk more about that as the show goes on. But he's right. And we should celebrate. Why don't we celebrate? It's like Pride Month should be the pride of us winning World War II. That's what I think. It should be the pride of D-Day and the pride of us defeating the Nazis and winning World War II. Like, there is this effort underway to try to redefine what World War II is about. We didn't just defeat the Germans. We defeated the Nazis. I think that's an important point that should not be lost on anybody. And this is why when the president said to the German chancellor, D-Day was not a good day for you. Good. I'm glad he said that. I want the world to remember that Germany was behind this and that, yeah, it's easy to say, well, yeah, but those were the Nazis. Yeah, but they were still the Germans. And the Nazis were that was the political party in Germany. So they were in control of the country, but it wasn't like they were using mind control. So I'm glad the president said that. I think it was good of him to remind the German prime minister, premier, whatever the guy is, you know, Freddie. It's good to remind him of that. We won, and we should win, and we should brag about that fact, because we didn't just win a war. We liberated the world from Adolf Hitler, because that guy was determined to conquer the entire world. He was not going to stop. He was never going to stop. They had a 1,000-year plan for the 1,000-year Reich, and if that guy had a chance to get his hands on nukes or atomic weapons, he would have used them in a heartbeat. Absolutely. No doubt about it. So good. I'm glad they're doing the military parade. There's nothing wrong with it. And it's something to celebrate. Just like every 4th of July parade, when you see military trucks and vehicles go by. So what? Good. Like, great. What? It's not like they're occupying our houses. It's not like the military parade. And then as part of that, they're getting rid of Article 3 of the Constitution. And they're going to start quartering troops at our homes. Like, it's just a freaking parade. Relax. It's just a parade. But everybody's got to make everything about authoritarianism and totalitarianism. And oh, my God, what's next? What's next? Nothing. They go home. The parade ends. The kids have cotton candy and popcorn and whatever parade foods you like. I don't know. And then the parade ends. And then everybody cleans up the streets, which are usually a freaking mess. At least in Philly, they are. And then they clean up. And then everybody goes back to their lives. It's usually how parades work. Whether it's the mummers, whether it's the military parade, a 4th of July parade, whatever it is. Even the little pride parades they do. Same thing. Got to clean up when it's done, and then it's over. But they're acting as if the military parade concludes with the president saying that the Article 3 of the Constitution, or I should say the Third Amendment, excuse me, no longer applies. We are now allowed to quarter troops in your homes. And we are doing that now. So open up a room. So silly. Honestly, we're truly the dumbest time ever. And what would a combination of German and Japanese be anyway? I'm trying to figure that out. What would that combo sound like? What would I can't do that accent on the air because I'd get in real trouble. Not for the German one, for the Japanese one. I'd get in trouble for that. But what would it sound like is my question. Maybe somebody can ask Grok.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Red Meat. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button for your favorite tasty assortment of conservative audio. And follow your local Odyssey talk station to get shows from these hosts delivered daily wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay hungry.